Sota, Perek Tes, Mishnah Ches, 9-8. Now this Mishnah is really quite similar to the Mishnah we saw back in the 6th Perek, when we were talking about how one doesn't do the procedure of the bitter waters for the Sota if we know, even from one person, what happened in that closed room. So similarly, since the Pasuk here says it has to be a situation in which we don't know what happened to this, you know, who the murderer is, Lo noda mi hikahu, says the Pasuk, we don't know who the person was who struck this victim, the corpse. So therefore, if we do know who it is, then we won't do the Egla Rufa procedure. Our mission is going to discuss what happens if we have, let's say, conflicting testimony. And the rules here are going to be the very same rules we saw back in the 6th Perek, which is anybody's testimony will do, meaning even if you have someone who's not usually acceptable as a witness, let's say a slave or a woman and so on, a relative, so then that's still sufficient to inform us of who the murderer is to make us not do this Egla Rufa procedure. And if you have conflicting reports, so then as an initial detail, the idea basically is, like we saw over there in the 6th Perek, if you have two, I'll call them not kosher witnesses, like say like two women, so then they can cancel each other out. If you have multiple women saying yes and multiple saying no, so then we go after the majority to decide who we listen to. That is all in contrast to the normal process of having kosher witnesses, meaning men who are unrelated and so on. So those people, once you have a pair of two of those, so then they are as good as 100. They can now, they're equal weight to 100 other witnesses who say, not contradict them. But in the case of other not quote-unquote kosher witnesses, so then we just go after like if 3 against 2 or 4 against 5, the majority is one that we turn towards. So the Mishnah says inside here, Eid echad omer ra'isi es ahoreg, if one conventionally kosher witness says, I saw who the murderer is. Ve'ed echad omer lo re'isa. And another witness says, no, you didn't see. You just saw the guy running away from the murder scene. But you didn't see actually kill him, so you can't confirm that he's the murderer. So then that'll be, you know, I'll call it one against one, and therefore we just don't know who the murderer is after all. Therefore we would proceed with the Egla Rufa story. And similarly, isha omeris re'isi, if you have a woman who says she saw who the murderer is, but she is a woman, unconventionally kosher witness. Ve'isha omeris lo ra'it, but another woman says, that's not what you saw. Nope, you just saw someone running away from the scene. You didn't see actually the murder happen. Again, we have one against one, and therefore we don't know what happened. And therefore, hayu orphan, therefore we proceed with the decapitation, you know, Egla Rufa procedure. The two cases here, the first one was two kosher witnesses, and the second one is two not kosher witnesses, like, you know, if it's an evid or a woman or whatever it is. What's important here is that, let's talk about the woman for a second, just for example. So if you have one woman that says that she saw who the murderer is, and then the Bezin accepts that testimony, and then they say, okay, forget it, you know, case dismissed, we're not doing Egla Rufa. And then someone else comes up later on and says, no, that's not what she saw, she just saw circumstantial evidence, the accused murderer was running away, but she didn't actually see the murder itself, I was with her at the time, that's not what she saw. So we wouldn't listen to that second witness, because once the Bezin's accepted this testimony and ruled on it, so then it's like accepted as a halachic fact, and some other not kosher witness, a single one, is not going to be able to undo that. So the thought of our Mishnah here is that they're coming together, and one saying, I saw, one saying, you didn't see, and therefore they cancel out, but they're together. Now just how together? It's the same discussion that we had also back in the 6th Perek, which is, according to Rashi, it had to be exactly the same time, meaning Tok Dedibur, one says, I did see one, then immediately says, no, you didn't see that. According to Tosfos, you have a little bigger window, it's so long as the court case is still open and the judges haven't sort of made some sort of final ruling or decision. But everyone agrees once that's happened, there's one witness, one woman can undo what was done. Eid echad omer re'isi, says the Mishnah. If one witness, again, this is like a not kosher witness, a woman, a slave, etc., who says, I saw who the murderer is, ushnaim omrim lo re'isa. But then two witnesses say, no, that's not what you saw. You just saw, you know, something circumstantial, let's say. So then the two, of course, overrides the one. And therefore, we don't know who the identity is. And therefore, we do, hayu orphan, we do proceed with the Egla Rufa procedure. You ask, well, what in the world is the chiddush here? We just said one against one. We don't know. Of course, two against one. We certainly don't know. The answer is, in this case over here, even if those two come after the court has accepted the testimony of the first, they can undo it because you have two witnesses coming together, and that would be enough to reconsider what the court accepted as truth. On the flip side, shnaim omrim ra'inu, if two witnesses say, And these are again, like, let's say, two women. Say, we did see, and Shnaim Om, I'm sorry, Ve'echad Omer Lahem Lo Re'item, and one person contradicts them and says, that's not what you saw. So it's two against one. In that case, the two are more significant than one, even though we're talking, you know, because we're talking about going for them the largest number in the case of not kosher witnesses. And since the two are saying we know who the identity is the murderer, therefore, Lohayo Orphan, says the Mishnah, we won't do the Eglarufa procedure because we know the identity of the murderer.